Blog Talk Radio.
The call to post means it's time for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to you. Saturday, the 16th of October. Thanks for joining us here on Off to the Races. My name's Frank Vespi. We're going to be talking thoroughbred racing and breeding across the Mid-Atlantic and around the country for the next hour, more or less, anyway. Our show, as always, powered by the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Check them out, www.theracingbiz.com. Also, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever. You can find them there. Also, a free mobile app. Free mobile app available on your Apple and Android devices. Good way to keep up with thoroughbred racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic and everywhere right in your pocket. You'd always be up to date. So a lot of ways to follow the Racing Biz, keep up with Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Again, thank you for joining us on a Saturday morning, giving us a little bit of your Saturday. Kind of in the middle of a lot of things going on. We had West Virginia Breeders Classics last weekend, Maryland Million coming up next weekend, Breeders Cup a couple of weeks after that. And hey, did I mention the Breeders Cup? Breeders Cup, yep. A bunch of Breeders Cup spots were sewn up in Win In Your In events last weekend. And among the runners that we want to highlight, let's say that, among the runners headed to Del Mar is In Love, the Agnes Gold gelding trained by Paulo Lobo. Punched his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Mile last week when he won the Keeneland Turf Mile. I point this out because that's exactly what Derby Bill Watson said was going to happen. Derby Bill picking In Love. In Love paid $26.60 to win. Congrats to Derby Bill for that, and hopefully to you. Hopefully you were playing along with Derby Bill. So $26.60 to win In Love going to the Breeders' Cup. Mile a little bit closer to home. Last weekend was West Virginia Breeders' Classics, 35th annual. We had Carol Holden on prior to the event. She is the president, co-founder of the West Virginia Breeders Classic. And I got to say, last week, really, and, you know, this isn't just me BSing here, it was one for the history books. Let's catch a stretch run from the Classic.
They round the far turn in the Classic with Muad'Dib in front. Hero's Man hugs the rail and tries to battle on. North Atlantic plugging away in third, but Muad'Dib takes over inside the final furlong, opens up on a two-length lead from Hero's Man, and then North Atlantic. What a night for Boca Chica and Runco and Muad'Dib. He's a perfect 8-for-8 and a Breeders' Classic champion. Muad'Dib dominates.
Muad'Dib won the $300,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic. And if you're wondering, the answer is he is named for a character in Dune. So that's the answer. Muad'Dib wins the $300,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic, pressing the early pace before going on to win by 2.25 lengths. Remain undefeated. He's now 8-for-8 in his young career. He's earned over $287,000. And he really put the exclamation point on a record-setting evening for the people around him. Owner David Rame would go on to win 5 races on the evening, 5 out of 9. Trainer Jeff Runco, he won 7 of the 9. Jockey Arnaldo Boca Chica, he won 8 of the 9. He won on all of Runco's horses, plus a horse named Doorbuster trained by Ollie Figgins. So 5 wins for Rame, 7 for Runco, 8 for Boca. Rame won the first two races on the card, both for juveniles. And then he later won the Onion Juice with Penguin Power. That was the third straight year that Penguin Power won the Onion Juice. And Rame went on to win the Classic and then the Distaff with Stowe Angel. Here's a clip. I put together a couple things that Rame had to say with some Runco. The first bit of this clip is Rame speaking after he had won the first two races, then Runco prior to the Classic, and then Rame after the Classic. Give a listen.
That rank. So far, this is number one. This is the best. This is the best.
You can come in that like with a lot of favor. You come out with a lot of seconds and thirds. So, you know, we just hope that the things are going away, and it has so far. We've had some great trips, you know, and it's worked out great. So two more to go. We'll see what happens.
You know, they're not close either, I mean, but so this was just great. You know, and I was getting nervous when kept winning the early ones, and I'm thinking, it can't keep going like this.
But it turns out it can keep going like this. That was David Rame. After the eighth race, that was the Classic. The ninth race was the Distaff. He won that too. So again, five wins for Rame, seven for Runco, and eight for jockey Arnaldo Bocachica. Coming up a little bit later on today's show, you're listening to Off to the Races. We're going to have Derby Bill Watson, he of the $26 winner last week. We're going to have Nick Hahn. They're going to come visit, do some handicapping and some banter. Up now, next week, Maryland Million, October 23rd. I spoke with Maryland Million's Jordan Egan earlier this week about the Maryland Million, what it means, what to expect, and a lot more. Here is our taped interview with Jordan Egan about Maryland Million 2021. Happy to be joined here on Off to the Races by Jordan Egan of the Maryland Horse Breeders Maryland Million Limited. Jordan, welcome to the program. I want to kind of launch you into this conversation by asking you about this. A year ago, we were doing this Maryland Million in the middle of a pandemic, and it sort of felt like you guys were trying pretty hard to have kind of a normal day, but it decidedly was not a normal Maryland Million day. What should we be looking for coming into the October 23rd Maryland Million this year?
Well, we're excited to be back. Thanks for having me, Frank. We're excited to be back, you know, doing our best impression of 2019 before the pandemic. So that's the good news. I believe there will be some masking, you know, indoors, but the majority of what we build out in the Maryland Million Village is outdoors. So it's going to feel pretty normal again. And, you know, we were fortunate in 2020 that a lot of our sponsors and supporters stayed on, you know, even though they couldn't really have a presence with the on-track crowd, but they're all back and the races are ready. And, you know, we're excited to get back to 2019.
That sounds good. Whoever thought they'd be like, ooh, if we could just get back to 2019, we'd be good to go. So what is the day going to look like? I mean, is there a early first post, or, you know, if somebody doesn't have tickets to your hospitality, what happens? What are we looking at here?
Sure. So yes, the first post is 11:30 for Maryland Million Day, October 23rd. Gates open at 10. So you'll come and, you know, get some coffee and a pastry or something. They are doing a hat giveaway to the first. They're limited to the first however many people, supplies are limited, that buy a program. So if you want your commemorative hat, be sure to get there early for that. As far as our village, we're in a pretty sold-out situation, which is a great place to be for us. You can get access to the race day still by buying a premium ticket for the night before at the Sip and Win event, which we can go into a little bit later. So there's some creative ways. I guess the best message is to go to MarylandMillion.com and find our phone number and give us a call if you're still looking for tickets to the Maryland Million Village. But rolling through that, the hospitality will be the same, and we'll have the on-track events in between races. We'll have some roaming magicians and clowns and things for kids' entertainment, some stick horse packets that kids can pick up and color. And we're really trying to get back to the emphasis of, you know, it's a family day at the races. It's Maryland's day at the races, and a lot of families come from near and far to enjoy all the extras that we do on Maryland Million Day to make it an overall engaging day. So, again, back to 2019, doing our best impression of 2019.
I've often thought that one of the really sort of positive aspects of Maryland Million is kind of the family emphasis, which is a more powerful emphasis than, you know, racing always says we've got to get more young people, so that must mean we've got to get, you know, 23-year-olds out. And I kind of feel like 23-year-olds got enough going on in their social lives that they're probably not looking at horse racing. But parents with young kids, if they can find an activity they can enjoy and the young kid can enjoy, that could be a pretty powerful incentive to come back.
Absolutely. Well, when we look at it just from like a marketing perspective, filling the funnel from the top, it's a lot of what we try to do in our outreach is the horse breeders, the Maryland Million, the foundation. It's starting with families with young kids, because it can be so many things, from trips to the farm to, you know, stopping by our building and getting a horse sticker to attending Maryland Million Day. And how many people do you hear that their first interaction with a horse was, you know, at the races at Timonium, you know, where you can get up close and personal. So it's a fun day because we can get that feeling at Laurel. And as a parent of two little kids, I like racing, so I'm inclined to go to the races regardless of whether or not I have kids. But when you go and there's something set up that you can get a little reprieve or have somewhere to sit or have a little something fun for them to look at, it makes the day a whole lot more enjoyable. So we're happy to provide that kind of atmosphere for families on Maryland Million Day and support it year round at the different venues as well.
Now, the most important question, of course, is what color is the hat this year?
That's a great question. that's really funny. I have no idea. They went straight to Laurel. That's really funny. I know our shirts are blue, maybe yellow. I don't know, Frank. I do not know. I'm going to have to look at the – that's a funny – you stumped me on that one. Cricket, our executive director, is always the – she's the hat person. That's hilarious. I have no idea. Maybe it's on laurelpark.com somewhere, because they get the hat first and they distribute them. I'm not
sorry
sure.
About that,
like, it'll be a mystery for all of us until October 23rd. Come find out.
That's it. You got to come out to Maryland Million to get your hat, and we don't know what color it is, but you'll find out when you get it.
Yeah, I know the pony, the outriders, and the grooms are in a royal blue polo shirt, but that's where my knowledge ends. So
okay.
Hopefully,
well,
it's a complimentary color. Yeah.
That's a thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Sip and Win event. Usually you guys have had a gala at the Maryland Club in Baltimore, but this year you're going in a little bit different direction. Talk about this event coming up before.
Yeah, apparently all roads lead back to Timonium, as you know, Frank. I know you spend a lot of time every summer back up at the fairgrounds too. So with COVID restrictions and just having to plan this event and make a decision, the Maryland Million Gala that happens at the Maryland Club is a very nice event. And so the Maryland Million has always put on the party the night before, but we moved it over. It's a fundraiser for our foundation. So we moved it to the foundation's books this year, which meant it can't lose money. So we had to kind of restructure it, and it was either going to be a really high ticket price at the Maryland Club, or we said, let's just, you know, take a different approach for this year and catch our breath and make sure it's something that everybody can come to. So the Horsemen will still receive their complimentary invites. Maryland Million will be sponsoring the Horsemen's comp. So if you have a runner on Maryland Million Day as an owner, you get two tickets. And as a trainer, you get two tickets as well. So we want to maintain the you know, the festivities of it being a party the night before Maryland Million. So it's going to take place at the Sales Pavilion, the Faith Acceptance Sales Pavilion at the Maryland State Fair from 6 to 9 on October 22nd. Tickets are $100 a piece. The highlight of that event will be a live auction benefiting the Maryland Horse Foundation. We are also going to be concurrently launching next a week from, or the 20th, October 20th, an online auction, which will have a huge number of fun items that people can bid on, and that also benefits the foundation. If you go to marylandhorse.com/sipandwin, marylandhorse.com/sipandwin, that's where you can go to get your tickets and learn more about the online auction. So, and it's also at marylandmillion.com, so you can't miss it. But, yeah, we'll be raising money, having a party. It'll be a more low-key affair than it usually is at the Maryland Club. But we are happy with ticket sales so far and hopeful that lots of people will come join us. You don't have to be an industry, you know, insider to come. Everybody's welcome. So plenty of parking at the Sales Pavilion, and just hop online and buy your ticket in advance and come do some bidding on the live auction.
Talking with Jordan Egan of Maryland Million here on Off to the Races, and I certainly was happy to hear that you guys were going in a little different direction with that event, because it means I don't have to be the MC the night before. So, you know, I think everybody's happy about
that. I don't
know.
Outcome. It's still early. We might ask you still. don't kid yourself, right?
Oh, is that the time? I got to go. So, Jordan, talk a little bit. Give us a little bit of history here on Maryland Million. This is going to be the 36th, I believe. But talk a little bit about how this event kind of came to be.
Sure. So Jim McKay, Wide World of Sports, Jim McKay, went to the inaugural Breeders' Cup out at Hollywood Park in the 80s and came back to Maryland. He was a Marylander and said, why in the heck aren't we doing this here? So, you know, a group got together, including our, you know, one and only Billy Boniface and some others, and said, well, why don't we do this and make it a stallion program? So the purpose of the Maryland Million is to promote Maryland stallions, which is a big part of the industry here in Maryland. And there are a number of thriving stallion operations in Maryland that we promote. So they came back and started rustling up the idea. And the funny thing is the Maryland Million. Why is it Maryland Million? Well, they said, okay, well, how much money in purses should we have for the day? And I can't remember who it was that said, you know, well, let's make it $1 million. You know, it's like, we've got zero, so why not make it $1 million? if you're gonna make it, let's make it. So, and they made it. And, you know, a lot of the heavy lift was Jim McKay in these early days, getting it started and getting corporate sponsors. It was a different era when these corporate sponsors would come in and give a big chunk of money. It was like a civic duty. It was the big support. And so that's when it started. And our executive director, Cricket Goodall, she came on board right around when it started. So she's been a huge part in growing it and making it what it is. It's really neat to see something that, you know, it's hard to make these big events. I think we all try to launch something that's going to be an enduring, big, popular event that everybody wants to go to every year, but it's rare that they stick. So the fact that Maryland Million has stuck and we get 15,000 people that want to come out to Laurel, and, you know, all of the elected and appointed officials and all of the industry boards and the agricultural community, it's an incredible day for everybody to come together. And we just try to honor the history of it while staying, you know, with current times. So I feel privileged to work for the organization and have the joy of helping to put on the day and honor the history and all of the hard work of Jim McKay and everybody that started it and Cricket as well, that it's been a labor of love for a lot of years now.
I have sometimes likened, kind of the two big events in Maryland are the Preakness and then sort of Maryland Million. And the Preakness is kind of like, you know, it's like when you if your daughter gets married and you throw a wedding for 400 people and it's a big hoo-ha and there's all these people there that you don't really know, but, you know, you're kind of showing off and the whole thing. And Maryland Million is kind of like the party you have in the backyard with your friends and family, you know? It's like everybody who loves Maryland racing is at Maryland Million. Whereas the Preakness, you get a lot of, you know, there's a ton of out of town people, and some people who love Maryland racing are kind of like, it's too much for me, but Maryland Million gets everybody out.
Absolutely. And you know, let's be real, the Preakness is an economic, you know, force in Maryland and very important and you know, a big national stage thing too. So grateful that we have that in our state as well. But Maryland Million Day is, and I don't know who coined the tagline Maryland's Day at the Races, but I think it's the local horsemen get a big day too. You know, it doesn't get overwhelmed by out-of-towners. It's people that contribute to the Maryland industry year in and year out, and they get rewarded for breeding to Maryland stallions, for competing in Maryland, for, you know, paying attention and staying local. So it's a nice opportunity to, you know, say thank you to the horsemen and promote our stallions.
Yeah, and it's cool because you know, your $5,000 horse is not going to win the Preakness. Your $5,000 horse could win a Maryland Million race, and that means a lot to horsemen.
Yes, yeah, and they're some of the favorite stories we get, you know, out of the winner's circle of that kind of race. So it's, and people plan for this all summer because we have the four starter races, so they're, you know, they're horses that have run in tags all summer. You know, people are claiming them, thinking, okay, I can fit in this starter, and I'm pointing towards October. And it does, between the two-year-old races and the classic and the starter races and the sprints and the, you know, everybody has something they can point to on Maryland Million Day. And it's fun to get that revved up every summer and start hearing people, oh, hey, you know, we claimed a horse for Maryland Million, or we've got one pointing to Maryland Million. This is a, you know, this is a summer, fall situation that people are thinking about.
No, you're absolutely right. It's funny you say that because years back when I owned horses, we specifically claimed a horse to run in Maryland Million. So
there you
so,
go.
Yeah.
The luncheon
yeah.
is that good that you get, yeah, you're like, let's get the free lunch and the fun experience and
yeah,
go to the gala the night
before. It's all about the free stuff, of course. Yeah. Particularly the way our horse ran, actually. He went off the favorite
yes,
in
yes,
the race. He was 3-2, spooked on the way to the paddock, and, you know, was done at the quarter pole.
That's horse racing. Anytime I talk to anybody about horse racing that doesn't know, I just remind them, you know, you're doing really well if you win 20% of the time. I mean, you're the best. So, I mean, that means you lose 80% of the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No,
when you realize people
tough.
Get frustrated with the sport, that's why. Because the best, the cream of the crop, the top of the heap are winning 20% of the time. So.
Right. Right.
A lot of losing.
No, if you talk to a trainer and they'll all tell you this, you know, when you win a race, it's because a million things went just right, and when you lose a race, it's because one went wrong. So
exactly. He spooked on the way to the paddock and you'll never forget it. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't want to say I'm scarred by that experience, but yeah. So I want to ask you this, you know, this is, you know, Maryland Million sort of the granddaddy of the state bred days or the state days, quote unquote, in horse racing. And, you know, we've actually in the Mid-Atlantic over the last, you know, basically over a 3 or 4 week period, we're going to see kind of three different models of what a state bred sire day might be. So you had Delaware Owners Day, which has the Delaware certified program where horses spend a certain amount of time in their first couple of years in Delaware and thus become eligible for those races. Then we had West Virginia Breeders Classics on October 9th, and that's for horses that are West Virginia breds. And now we got Maryland Million, and Maryland Million is Maryland sired. So talk a little bit about the eligibility. Hey, you know, what horses are eligible to run on Maryland Million Day? Because that's always a thing that comes up. People go like, why can't this horse run? And so talk a little bit about the eligibility criteria.
Sure. Yeah. So it's a stallion program. So that's the first thing everybody should remember. That's the default. That's the baseline. That's the purpose. That's the point. So stallions, Maryland stallions, and they nominate, the stallion owners nominate their stallions every breeding season. So foals don't have to be nominated, which is unlike Breeders' Cup. They used to, but it's just the stallion that nominates. And if you're by a Maryland Stallion that was nominated the year you're conceived, then you're eligible for Maryland Millions. So they nominate December or, you know, by the breeding season, I think it's actually January 31st every year. The stallions are all nominated so that when the breeding season starts, all of the foals that are conceived, that are made that year, are eligible to run in the Maryland Million, you know, when they're 2-plus years old. So that's the focus. You will see in the pre-entries that Maryland bred, non-Maryland sired horses are in there. That's because a few years ago we came up with a clause for the pre-entries that are for the entries that if 8 Maryland Million eligible horses don't enter, that the race can open up to Maryland breds to maintain a field size of 8. So that's just protecting the handle on race day. Fortunately, it doesn't happen very often. The Maryland Million races are often supported by entirely Maryland sired horses. The starter races are open to Maryland bred or Maryland sired horses, but the 8 key stakes races on Maryland Million Day, the preference is Maryland sired horses.
So that means the clause you were just referencing. So if only, for example, 7 Maryland sired horses enter a given race, then it can open up to an 8th horse who's a Maryland bred.
Correct. And we've been tinkering with this for a while. Yeah, because it was like at first it could open to all the Maryland breds that are pre-entered, but now it's to maintain the field size of 8. So then the preference of the highest earner draws in to maintain the field size of 8. So it might be 7 Maryland sired and 1 Maryland bred that draws in to maintain that 8 horse field.
Gotcha. Okay. So that means that, you know, if folks are, you know, reading something that's talking about, you know, the cord makers of the world who are pre-entered, pretty good chance they're not going to run. He's a son of Curlin.
Exactly.
So.
Yes, correct. And it's funny because, as I mentioned to you, Frank, we are also the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, that the team, we're a team that does it all. So while we are very proud of our Maryland bred superstars, we kind of have to like shut down the pride for the day and say, all right, this is about the Maryland sired horses. And, you know, those are the names that catch the headlines when those pre-entries come out. And it is a little bit confusing, but we'll be getting out some information next week about, you know, the stallions that are represented and how many runners of each. And then we don't know until entry day, you know, who actually gets in the entry box and how many. And then from there, we know which races are, you know, stay Maryland Million only, or as we say, open up to Maryland breds.
All right. So that entry day is Wednesday for the Saturday Maryland Million. So I'll have a better idea then. But we do have about I actually looked through the pre-entries. Looks like about 24 pre-entered for each of the key mm-hmm. stakes. So the key stakes are the nursery and lassie for 2-year-olds. And why don't mm-hmm. you go through them, because you probably have them at the tip of your tongue.
I have my pre-entry book here. So yeah, the lassie and nursery for 2-year-olds, the Maryland Million Turf, which is 1 1/8 miles. You have the sprint, which is 6 furlongs on the dirt, turf sprint, 5.5 on the turf, the distaff, which is 7 furlongs on the dirt, the Maryland Million Ladies, which is 1 1/8 miles on the turf, and then the classic, which is 1 1/8 miles on the dirt. So, and then you have your 4 starter races. So those represent the different 12.5 on the turf and then 8,000 on the dirt for distaff or just open. So those are those 4 races. So clear as mud, right? Just, yeah. Please bring me a condition book on my podcast, Jordan, that nobody ever. So go to MarylandMillion.com and look at the pre-entry book if you want to know more.
That's it. Off to the races where we read condition books and conditions of entry. Yes. Nothing quite like it. All right. So, Jordan, what's a favorite Maryland Million moment for you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you didn't. The color of the hat and my favorite memory. I should have known those would have been the 2 questions. Honestly,
a favorite memory you probably should have. The color of the hat, that's on me.
Yeah. It's for me, every year, it is a busy, busy time of year. And I think each year, once we make it to first post, and they start running, and you see the apron fill up, and you see all the hats, and you see the kids getting face painting, which is one thing we won't be doing this year just because, again, COVID. But we'll get that back in next year. But seeing the families and then the people that work so hard. My husband was trained here for a long time, and I know how hard it is. So then to have a day and you have a runner and you have a little extra pep in your step, the horsemen work so hard every single day. So it's fun to have a special day that's just for them. And then to have the sponsors out that are supporting this. And, you know, I think honestly, it's just when you get to the day and it's, you know, it has so much purpose and so much meaning for so many people. It's just a real thrill to be able to be a part of it. And again, we try a lot of tricks here, you know, different events, different things, different tours, and to be able to be part of something that's endured is pretty great. So I don't think there's one specific memory for me. I think it's that when you get to race day every year, and it always is a great day. So that's what I love the most.
Certainly a good thing to love the most. All right. I think that about is going to cover us here, Jordan. Anything else you want to say here as we're about to wrap up talking with Jordan Egan of Maryland Million?
I don't think so. Just October 23rd. Remember, early first post at 11:30. Track is open, so we'd love for you to come and, you know, make your bets on track. Go to MarylandMillion.com or Laurel Park for the kind of general admission information is at Laurel Park, and then all the hosts at MarylandMillion.com. And if you're interested in joining us the night before at the Sip and Win benefiting the Maryland Horse Foundation, go to, find that on MarylandMillion.com as well. We'll keep you all going to one website, and then you can click away from there. So thank you, and thanks, Frank, for the opportunity to talk about it.
No, it's. I'm glad we could do it. One thing I don't know that we mentioned, the Sip and Win event is at the Facing Tipton Sales Pavilion in Timonium. So if folks are thinking about going there, that's where it's going to be, which should be a lot of fun. And hopefully I won't be emceeing, so that's good too. all right, Jordan Egan, thank you so much for joining us here on Off to the Races, and we'll catch you on Maryland Million Day.
Sounds good. Thanks, Frank.
All right, that was Jordan Egan of Maryland Million. Again, the Sip and Win event takes place in Timonium Friday, October 22nd. Maryland Million itself is Saturday, October 23rd at Laurel Park. We're going to be talking much more about Maryland Million in our next episode. But for the moment, I'm going to bring in a couple of folks to help us do some handicapping. And Derby Bill's not quite with us at the moment, but I believe Nick Hahn is. So let's bring in Nick Hahn and see what's shaking. Hello, Nick Hahn.
Yes. Hey, good morning, Frank. Boy, a lot happening this fall. I guess COVID is finally over in terms of the racing ranks here in Virginia with steeplechase racing and harness racing and just, you know, concluding Colonial Downs last month. There's plenty going on. And right in this little lull between the Breeders' Cup coming up in 3 weeks. So, looking forward to the fall racing.
No, certainly a lot going on. And let's, while we're awaiting Derby Bill, let me ask you this. You're announcing the races at Shenandoah Downs, a little harness track out in the western part of Virginia. Talk about that. How's that going?
It's closing week at Shenandoah Downs. They have the wiener dog races today. And in between races, in between storms, we're going to try and race 27 wiener dogs in a couple of different heats. So it'll be interesting. They're about 8-second races, so I'll be doing some of those calls along with Daryl Wood, who's organized the meet and so many of the activities. You know, it's just a it's kind of a long lost, quaint little racetrack. Fair meet. I think there's a lot to be learned with this meet at Shenandoah in central of Woodstock. It's located a little bit south of 80, of where 66 and 81 join up in the northeast corner or northwest corner of Virginia. It's a fair that's been around for 100 years. The grandstand feels that way. But the community embraces it, and I call it Shenatoga because it kind of reminds me of that small town racetrack feel, and the community supports it. The racing's been pretty good. We got 14 races today with a lot of full fields, 7 and 8 horses. It's a little bit different. Calling the races is certainly a craft. And at times I feel like I master it, and then you have days like yesterday when you just can't wait to get back to the mic and then correct everything that went wrong. It's not as easy as it looks. It's easy to get distracted, but I try and just call what I see. So it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot about harness racing over the last several weekends at Shenandoah Downs, and if you can't make it out today, look for it in 2022. Try and find a spot to put it on your racing calendar. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, next year I'm going to make sure, because I've been browbeating Daryl Wood about letting me ride in a sulky around the track. So next year I'm going to make that happen. I think Derby Bill has joined us as well. Let me bring him into the conversation. Derby, you there?
Yes, Frank. I've ridden in a sulky before. It's not pleasant for the horse.
So before we do anything, Bill, congratulations. Nice $26 winner you give out last week.
Yeah, I needed that. Wanted the turf pick three desperately last week. The turf pick three is a very intriguing new wager in the circuit that, you know, horse racing needs to expand with sports wagering, and that's a great way to do it, is add some bets and lower the takeout, and it's averaged almost $1,000 every pick three for $3 bet. You know, knocks out the 50-cent players a little bit. $2,200 yesterday, but last week was I can't remember the exact payoff last week, but that $123 winner had me had the Lasix kicking in.
Well done. That was a nice pick. I look at the charts. I said, oh man, I think Bill had that horse. And then right after that, you texted me. So, well done. Always nice to give out a good winner.
Always nice to upsize dinner.
Exactly. You could get the supersize, attaboy. All right, guys. So we're talking, we got a couple of graded stakes for fillies, three-year-old fillies on the turf we're going to talk about, which are the Grade 2 Sands Point at Belmont Park and the Grade 1 QE2 Challenge Cup at Keeneland. And then we also got a dirt race for two-year-olds, 10 of them going to line up at Delaware Park in the Rocky Run. So why don't we start with Belmont, if that's amenable to the two of you, with the Grade 2 Sands Point, 9 furlongs on the turf. And I guess the question, and I'll throw this out to the panel, is Chad going to win both of these races?
Go ahead,
Nick,
Bill.
What do you think?
Okay. I'll say he'll win half of them. I like the placement here of Higher Truth, a Galileo, a three-year-old filly. Hopefully weather is not an issue. You have to kind of keep an eye on that, not only here in central of Woodstock, but also up and down the East Coast, Delaware and New York, because we do have a front coming through. But I like Higher Truth here. Actually used this horse as a single in this race. I like a Rad Ortiz here. I just kind of think this horse stands well above the remainder of the field here. So I actually went right to Higher Truth, and and I'm going to use him just as a single.
Wow, that's a bold statement there. Chad's got a couple in here. He also has Fluffy Socks. Higher Truth has been second and third in three recent stakes events. Bill, what do you think about the Sands Point?
Yeah, who doesn't like Fluffy Socks? I mean, everybody likes Fluffy Socks. I mean, Nick's got the top horse there, Higher Truth, dropping down from the grade one place last time out, and Chad could easily hit the exacta button here and play Higher Truth and Fluffy Socks if I'm going against the grain, which I normally try to do, and beat the public somehow or another to make a couple bucks. I like Junior Alvarado, and I like the song, the name the horse is named after. I could do it for you. Harajuka, Harajuka. John Avery? I believe that's the correct song. If I'm wrong, I apologize. Number three, 3-1. This will go up. He should be $10 by the race here, but Irish bred, Harajuka, Harajuka.
I got nothing.
Well, it's Graham Motion, Virginia Derby champion trainer, and, if anybody under 18's listening to the show, I hope we're progressing their onward degeneration with my singing.
Yeah, well, your singing certainly does it. Yeah, this horse a little interesting, was racing primarily in France, then came over with Andre Fab, came over, ran third in the Jockey Club Oaks, now switches into the Grand Motion Barn. It's a Flaxman Holdings horse. Flaxman owned Main Sequence, who I believe was the turf champion a couple of years ago. And this another one, and that horse was trained by Grand Motion. This one also trained by Grand Motion. So a little bit.
You'll be flying late.
Yeah. No.
You'll be flying late.
Yep, ran pretty well in the that last race with absolutely no pace to run at. So
yeah.
Might be able to give an improved account of himself this time. Nick, what do you think about Harajuku?
I don't know how you get from Farajaka to Harajuku, but I think that this horse did race in France, which is probably the only similarity there because it's an Irish bred horse. But
facts. Come on.
Certainly a lot of respect for Graham Motion and his ability to train a horse, a three-year-old. He certainly had showed that, demonstrated that at Colonial Down several times.
Didn't he win the Virginia Derby? Did he win the Virginia Oaks or something this year? He did, didn't he? Didn't he win one of the big races?
No, it's funny you mentioned the Virginia Oaks because we have that coming up with the Queen Elizabeth there. But he did win the Virginia Derby. But he's won the Virginia Oaks in the past, too. And, of course, with Filmmaker, he won several times when the All Along was run at Colonial Downs. But the this is a horse that finished right behind Higher Truth's to Higher Truth's second in that last race, and they're shortening up a little bit, I think, which might help Higher Truth just a little bit. Seems to have a hard time finishing at a mile and 3/8, mile and a quarter. So I think shortening up is going to be significant. I'm not doubting Derby Bill when he says Harajuka will be coming late, but I think the wire is going to be showing up a little bit early as well.
All right, so Bill going with Harajuku and singing a little Frere Jacques, and Nick is on Higher Truth for Chad Brown here in the Grade 2 Sands Point. Let's upgrade our sights a little bit. Grade 1 QE2 Cup at Keeneland, and Chad's going to be represented here as well. Bill, let's start with you. What do you think about the QE2 Cup?
Well, the real QE2 was run a little about 20 minutes ago, and Baid won with Jim Crawley up. If you're a Jim Crawley supporter, he's won two at Ascot always love saying Ascot. Jim Crawley, two wins in a row over there, and that's a Breeders' Cup win and you're in. So Baid beat Frankie Dettora in the real Queen Elizabeth II. But the Queen Elizabeth Challenge Cup here up at Keeneland is part of that Turf Pick 3 today also. So, you know I like Empress Josephine. I liked her last week, and I liked Empress Josephine. Just got a little bit too late. Running back 7 days is incredible here. The Galilea Philly and it closed like a bat out of hell. And that was a good song by Meatloaf years ago. Meatloaf. Always remember the songs about food and the singers about food. Empress Josephine, well, a bat out of hell finish here. And just quality older rivals here. But last week, just a little bit too late, came flying for third. And trainer Aiden O'Brien's adding blinkers here to keep Empress Josephine a little bit more focused, hopefully. And, you know, Aiden O'Brien knows what he's doing with these shippers. So I'm going to try Empress. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm hoping you get two out of three of these races right so we could tell you the two out of three ain't bad and keep the Meatloaf theme going.
Well, he's got an appetite for destruction, that man. He can ache a damage a pizza like Derby Bill. So definitely like – I know you like Empress Josephine. I mean, he was third behind Chad Brown, and never hard to – hard to improve off that race, and coming back so fast is impressive. It's a quality field with Burning Ambrish, and I can't pronounce this one, Chantizera, the French horses here, all the foreign attacking the Queen Elizabeth II here. Flippet's the one Nick will talk about. Flippet, your Virginia Derby winner, 15-1. I'll let Nick talk about Flippet a little bit.
All right, so Derby Bill on Empress Josephine. You're right. I did like Empress Josephine last week. I think that's what cursed her. It was you were on her and I was on her, and it was just too much for her to do. So I'll stay away, and that should help quite a bit. But, yeah, really interesting coming back in a week in graded company. You don't see that very often these days. Nick, what do you think? Is it flipping?
It's kind of interesting that Derby Bill, I don't know what his winning percentage is, picking races, but he can pick my picks pretty well. You know, this is kind of looking a little big picture here with the three-year-old filly races. It's kind of an odd weekend because the two feature races are two three-year-old filly races. So kind of just trying to bring it back to what may or may not ever happen in Virginia. We're always looking ahead toward the racing season. But if racing were to ever move to the fall, that three-year-old division seems to be well-placed here. It's not a Breeders' Cup race. So if you ever ran, like, three-year-old colts, like the Virginia Derby, they're doing it this weekend pretty heavy with the three-year-old fillies. So I'm sure maybe something to look for well down the line as racing has gone to more proactive thought, so to speak, in Virginia. But flip it. First race since winning the Virginia Oaks back on August 31st, Rafael Bayerano returns. This is just a nice, great filly, a tappet, and 15-1 in the morning line. So I don't, and that's, I think, something for this race that is pretty much throughout. I mean, this is a race where you know, everybody is up on that line here. And there's opportunity with, I think, some issues like Empress Josephine and some of these horses making their first start at Keeneland. You know, it's a new meet. So I think it's an opportunity for horses like Lady Spite Spear and even, you know, the longest shots here on the board, I think, are very tempting in terms of the wagering. I like Technical Analysis. That's the horse I ended up putting with Flippant. Horse coming off that yielding turf. I always like to see horses when they can win on any condition. I like versatility. I think that's a sign of talent. And I think you see that with Technical Analysis. winning on the yielding turf at Saratoga, winning on the firm turf at Saratoga, winning on the good turf at Belmont. Actually didn't win in that race, but as Lisa is familiar with it, won on the good turf at Aqueduct this time last year. So I think that horse with Jose Ortiz has a lot of ability. So I think you want to drift off the favorites here as much as you can, and that's where I think this might be a spoiler for Chad Brown today.
It's Chad's world. We're just living in it. You mentioned Lady Spite Spear, which is a terrible name. That horse is undefeated, 3-for-3 in her brief career. Emma Jane Wilson up, Roger Atfield, the trainer. Kind of an interesting horse, won the Natalma, the grade one Natalma, second time out, going a mile, and then won last time going a mile on the 16th. This is only her second start of 2021, and you have to imagine they were hoping to get her going a little bit earlier than they managed, for whatever reason. So should be interesting to see her back in graded company here. Nick, you and I were... I'm sorry, Bill, what?
Oh, no. She's never won out of Woodbine. So if she doesn't like American beer, then the import from Molson country will have trouble with the surface.
That's a fair point.
Never left Toronto.
That's a fair point. Maybe she's a Labatt's drinker, though.
That's quite possible. And as you said, she got a bad name, so I tossed her anyway.
I don't blame you for that.
You have several horses in this field that have never raced in America, you know, much North America for that fact, you know, making their first start. Empress Josephine made her first start last week at Caneland. But, you know, Aiden O'Brien bringing this horse back, he's seen something that he must really like to bring this horse back. But yeah, there's a lot of question marks here. I think you could have gone, how many horses are in the field? 10? So I think you could have gone 10-1 on almost every horse on the field and just be done with that with the morning line.
Yeah, this is a really interesting race. It's just a really sort of eclectic group of horses that have come together. As Nick said, you know, Empress Josephine has made one start in the U.S. Nicest going to make her first start in the U.S. Lady Spite Spear, first start in the U.S. Cloudy Dawn, first start in the U.S. So, you know, you got a couple of horses that have been racing out west. So just horses kind of coming in from all over the place for this spot. So should be fun. So, all right, Bill on Empress Josephine, Nick on technical analysis. Is that right?
Technical analysis and Flippant, the Virginia Oaks winner.
And Flippant, the Virginia Oaks winner. Loved Flippant, the Virginia Oaks. All right. Let us turn.
8-1, more fine, and then went off
to
2-1. Everybody
goes off the favorite. Yeah, thanks for nothing. Let's turn our attention to Delaware Park, $50,000 Rocky Run Stakes, 1 mile. For 2-year-olds. So I believe this is going to be the last stake of the Delaware Park meet. I'm actually going to make my way up there as soon as we're done here. Nick, what's your take on the Rocky Run?
This race is a little more perplexing. I actually went with Husband Material, the 5-horse, who I believe is the favorite in the race. Yeah. Won by 20 lengths on a wet, fast track at Delaware back in August. If there's any weather that shows up, maybe an opportunity to accentuate on the surface there. Bred by American, sired by American Pharaoh, trained by Jimmy Toner, has Daniel Centino aboard as the jockey on this horse. So I didn't drift too far off the favorite in this one. I think this is just that race at Churchill, for whatever reason, just may not have panned out. It happens to the best of horses where they just don't run well on that Churchill surface and now runs back at Delaware. So I'm actually on the favorite here, although there are a couple of similarities to that wide open field in the QE2. with this field, but this time I actually wanted to just stay with the favorite.
One thing I will point out to the listening public, the as you said, he won by 20 lengths in his second career start. It was a three-horse field, though, so quite possible didn't beat a lot there. So, Bill, what about you?
Well, as a two-year-old fan of all two-year-olds, this is a race I really find a challenge, obviously, the young horses. And if you're heading up to Delaware, you better, you know, crossing the Delaware, always dangerous in thunderstorms. So that is also a key factor in my handicap in this race. It's like 88 degrees in Delaware, so you might get a thunder bumper there and affect this race by post time, because I think it's race 7 at about 4 o'clock. So that's about what time the thunder bumpers might hit there. And I have my heart set on an upset here. As Nick said, this one's got some value to this race. I mean, he might be the only favorite, but I like Rich's Way, Scott Lake here. Bodemeister, you remember old Bodemeister leading the Kentucky Derby for me and fading the second years ago. So a lot of speed out of the Bodemeister clan. Rich's Way here, 8-1 early. I think he might even get 10-1 on this one. But he's just had some sound figures, and today's conditions will really factor in my wager. But 8 to 10 to 1 here. What's the other one? Cook Creek also 10-1. Hopefully you get that. Uncle Moe's Little Kid by Bernadetti, just the class breeding there under that horse, and he's fully capable of upset here with either one of them. I'm taking two horses that'll probably go 10-1 there, Mr. Vespi, if you want to do a Vespi Watson LLC combined Delaware Destroyer.
I like it. I like it. Joe Parisi on the racingbiz.com picked Cook Creek as well. Interesting thing about Rich's Way, took 5 shots to break his maiden, but he broke his maiden his first time going 2 turns. So he's one of a relatively small number of horses here that have demonstrated success going 2 turns. So that seems like a thing to consider. And also gets leading rider Jamie Rodriguez in the irons. Jamie Rodriguez has now over 100 wins at the Delaware Park meet and is smashing all sorts of records, and he's going to finish way ahead of Carol Cedeno, who is the longtime leading rider up there. She's going to finish second this year, so that seems like a pretty good thing. So no love, Nick, for No Sabe Nada. That's the Scott Peck trainee who won the first state dash.
Yeah, just a horse. I mean, I could make a case for that horse, too. Who won that, like you said. A horse I'm kind of keeping my eye on here is Bold Leader, coming out of Laurel, out of that maiden special weight. I think it's 6-1, sired by Keen Ice. Not the most priciest horse. Julian Pimentel comes in to ride this horse. And I think this is a horse that's starting to show improvement. So it might be an opportunity to catch this horse with a nice price at the right time. That's a horse I put together with husband material as well.
Yeah.
That trainer.
Go ahead, Bill.
That trainer's bad to the bone.
Yeah. From
Delaware Destroyer, Mike Trumbetta, the greatest name in training, wagering, degeneration. Trumbetta's
right up on 2,000 wins. He's going to get 2,000 probably, you know, in the next week or two. So, I think he might have won one yesterday. Source gets Lasix on for the first time running in Maryland. Lasix not permitted for two-year-olds. Gets Lasix on as he makes his first start out of state here in the Rocky Run Stakes. So,
have you ever had Lasix, Frank?
You know what? I have not, Bill.
Oh, okay. It's definitely a plus for the breathing of large animals and large humans. So I will help Nick on with that pick there, Bold Leader with Lasix. Yeah, I think he's 6-1 from what I could see, 6-1. Good
yep.
prices in this race, and some real good betting races, all three of these that you picked out, selected this week. So no sulking here.
Just betting. Just degeneracy. All right, so Nick Hahn, husband material for Jimmy Toner, and Derby Bill, Rich's Way. Is that right?
Rich's Way, 10-1.
All right, beautiful. I like it. Little price. We like it. All right, last thoughts. Derby Bill, what you got for me?
Yeah, he's also trained by Scott Lake. I mean, I know it's the Delaware River, but Scott Lake connection there. He definitely has won a few at Delaware Park also as a trainer. Several ways, but he's won a few. Looking forward to the Maryland Million. I've been there before, done that. Don't remember the one I went to one time, but had a good time. And looking forward to next week's Maryland Million.
All right. Sounds good. Nick Hahn, your closing thoughts?
Yeah, looking for a big day here at Shenandoah Downs. Next weekend is the International Gold Cup in the Plains of Virginia. Remember, it was 52 degrees, I think, when they ran the spring edition of the International Gold Cup 3 weeks later in the year because of COVID for the Virginia Gold Cup. So a lot of racing activity before the big weekend, the Maryland Million, of course. And of course, shortly after that, the Breeders' Cup. Wouldn't it be great to have the Breeders' Cup? This is another topic for discussion. It's not new. Shouldn't it be Saturday, Sunday instead of Friday, Saturday? Wouldn't that kind of work a little better? And also today, the Fair Hills has their big day of steeplechase racing in New Jersey. It's significant because it's part of the cross-country pick five. So some of those races have been included in that multi-jurisdictional wager. So I hope everybody picks some winners and enjoys some of this racing down the stretch.
All right, gentlemen, thank you both very much. That's going to do it for us here on Off to the Races. I want to thank everybody who has contributed. We got Jordan Egan from Maryland Million, of course, Derby Bill Watson, Nick Hahn. Thanks to our listeners. So we're not just talking to ourselves. We appreciate you being a part of the program. You can tune in next week for another edition of Off to the Races. You keep up with racing and breeding all week long on The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com, the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding. My name's Frank Vespi. Have a great week, everybody.